Thank you, Lord, for being with us in this time of worship, God. I pray that the worship doesn't stop. It only has begun here. And I pray that you would just be with each of us interns as we share about you and our experiences this summer. And would you be with those listening, Lord, speaking to them just as much you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be here together today. And would you be with us? In Jesus' name. Well, good morning, everybody. There's a lot of people here for the last couple weekends of September of the summer. That's awesome. I'm glad to see everybody, and I hope you all have been really enjoying your summer and are ready for the fall to come. All right, so of the us four interns, I'm going to be sharing first with you, and I want to begin by reading when Jesus shares about the final judgment in Matthew 25:31-46. It's not about the judgment per se, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer him, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And I'm not saying this passage to you guys to condemn anybody, but I want to say it as context for a lot of the ministries that we as interns got to visit this summer. And it's one thing to read this verse and understand what we're meant to do. We're meant to love people. That's what that's about, is love. And it's another thing to see that happening in your city. The naked being clothed, and the hungry being fed, and the thirsty being provided for. All these practical needs, sometimes we think of as lesser than. We see people who need them, and we think, oh, they need Jesus. They just need faith, and they'll be all better. But to see Christians who are meeting these needs for people, and see how that opens doors for them to know Jesus, was really special. Particularly, every week on Fridays, we would go to Connecting Streams, which is a ministry that has a drop-in center, largely for homeless and low-income people. And it was just a space where Christians were present. That was it. They had snacks, they had food, they had drinks, they had clothes, but they were present in the community. And they were there every day of the week just for them. And that was something I want to talk to you guys about, which really was impactful for me, was consistency. It doesn't matter if you do something big and exciting for one day, but if you're not consistent, it won't amount to a lot. Discipleship is about being together continually. It's about learning from each other continually. It's about loving each other continually. So when God says, go make disciples of every nation, He doesn't mean give them a package of food and leave them. He means to be consistent, to be there every day, to love them every day. This passage, it's not when you saw me sick once and you fed me. He would, like, when you gave me food and that was it. I was never hungry again. It's continual. It's fulfilling needs for each other as a community every day. It's letting your yes be yes and being consistent and not flaky, I guess, is the alternative. I've definitely seen a lot in my own generation that either we're not consistent at all, we say yes and we don't follow through, or because we know this verse, we know let your yes be yes, we don't ever say yes. We just say, oh, you know, I'll get back to you. Oh, you know, let me think about it. I'll see if it fits in my schedule. All these things tend to just be excuses rather than yes, rather than consistency, rather than loving. And it's, we put those missions things, those fulfilling other people's needs as secondary to our own, rather than literally the key to be in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why I thought of this verse and wanted to share it with you guys and how it connected to what we did this summer. And similarly, we met Jim Mercer from Salvation Army, and we got to see the ministry that they do for the homeless there. And it's not a once a week ministry. It's an every day, every hour, every one. It's like most of their staff is fulfilled by people who's already been through the mission because they get it. They get the daily needs. They get the need for showing up every day. And there's fruit from that. It's not just people are in need every day for the rest of their lives and we have to fulfill it every day for the rest of our lives. It's God comes in to that need and into us through the Holy Spirit, and we get to minister to these people and they get better. Not all the time, but most of the time they get better and they get to know the Lord, and we can see the fruit of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys today. Particularly, I want to encourage the West Ottawa community, because something I learned this summer, which I knew in some sense, but I got to see just how consistent these people are at community, just how they see a need in the community and they say yes. It's not, oh, let me see if it works out. It's no, we will meet this need for you. We will say yes. And I saw that continually each week I was here working and getting to be a part of that yes. So that's an encouragement for this community. Keep saying yes. Keep leaning on one another. It doesn't work if you're one person. We need everybody. You can't keep saying, oh, that person's going to do that, because that person can't always do that. You need to step up and say, yes, I can do that. And they can do that. And we can do it together. And that's how community works. That's how this building runs. That's how this building was started. And so I want to encourage you guys that this church is so good at saying yes. And as new people come and young people are starting to be more capable of saying yes, just step into that and look at Jesus. Look at his example and let that be an encouragement to you. Yeah. Very nice. So, thank you. Next, we're going to have Joseph come up and share.
Thank you. Well, it's such a blessing to be able to be here today and to meet together to worship and to hear God's word and to encourage one another. And I'd like to begin with prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be together and to worship you. I pray that you would help us to learn what it is that you want to teach us and help us to use whatever we learn for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, this is right after God had created all the animals on the sixth day. And then beginning with verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So in this passage, we see that God created us in his image and with the work and purpose of representing God to the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 3, I won't read it right now, but it talks about the fall when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then the image of God within us was distorted in that moment. We know we fell into sin and death came because of that. Actually, the scripture that I want to look at is in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. This is a verse I want to talk about a bit later, but in my notes, I messed it up. Anyway, the verse that I wanted to talk about, it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the image of God within us was distorted. We no longer reflected God perfectly. And according to justice, we had to be judged, but God took that judgment on himself. Jesus Christ came and died in our place so that we, by believing in him, could be saved. And now, when we're saved, once again, we come to reflect God's image in the world. And through sanctification, that our reflection of God's image, it becomes more and more clear. And in the resurrection, that image will be restored completely. But I'd like to talk about a couple of ways in which we as Christians can reflect God's image to the world around us. And the first scripture I'm going to look at, this time I have it right in the notes, is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then I'm going to look at, this time it is Romans, oh, it's up here. It was up here, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" So two ways in which we reflect God's image to the world around us as believers in Jesus are by the way we live, the way we act, the way we show God's love to the people around us, and as well as the message of the gospel that we share with people. But when we want to share the gospel, it's good to make sure that we show it in our actions as well as in our words. And I was going to read actually from the same passage that Ella read, but she's covered that now. So when we help those in need, when we give food to the hungry and water to those who are thirsty, in a sense, we are doing that for God, because these people are made in God's image. But back to the point of how we reflect God's image. It is in our actions, and it is in the gospel. And throughout this internship, we have had the opportunity to do both many times. We've gone to working with the Salvation Army. We were able to, I was able to speak and share a message about God being our Father, about His love for us, and about the Lord's Prayer. And we were also able to share food and drinks with the people and hear their stories and pray for them. And working with Connecting Streams, we went there every week on Fridays, and we offered a little bit of food and coffee, but we had conversations with a lot of people. We heard their stories, and we showed compassion when they were hurting, and we prayed for these people. Share God's love in our actions, in showing care for these people, in offering them food, and in sharing the gospel in some cases, and praying. Actually, I wanted to share somewhat of an analogy. Throughout the summer, the garden out front, you know, in the parking lot there area, it was full of weeds. And at one point in the summer, a couple points, we went there, pulled the vines out, pulled out some of the weeds, and planted flowers and built a small garden on the edge over there. And this, in a way, is like the gospel. The gospel removes the poison of sin and the chaos and disorder, and it brings in God's life. There's the plants that we planted and are watered grow into beautiful flowers. And this is like the gospel in us and the fruit of the Spirit within us. And in the lives of everyone who hears and accepts the gospel. So today I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to go into the world, show the kindness and love of God and God's care for the people around you, and to share the gospel and pray for people when you can. Now I'd like to finish with prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and died so that we could be saved from our sins, from death. I pray that you would help us to share your love and share the gospel with those around us. Help us to show care and compassion to the people who need it the most. In Jesus' name, amen. I think David is up next.
Thank you, Joseph. It's my turn now. All right, hello everybody. I am intern number 3, which means we're almost done. We're more than halfway finished. Yeah, but my name is David, and this is my second year being an intern, second year straight. So, you know, consistency, like Ella was talking about, that's me right there, okay? All right, well, I hope everyone is enjoying the service so far. I know that Ella and Joseph shared a bit of their heart, and then they shared some scriptures and stuff, but I really wanted to share a testimony and, you know, some more of like a story kind of format. So yeah, I'm back for my second year as an intern, and I just want to start by saying thank you to Pastor Chuck, to Graham, and to everybody I was involved with this year, of course, all the interns as well. This internship has opened countless doors for me, and I'm forever grateful for the church and the congregation. A lot has changed since my first year as an intern. I started and finished my first year of university, owned 2 different cars, have had my home church merged with West Ottawa. If you can't tell, my father is Pastor Young. I know I'm like the only other Asian person here, but you know. Just in case, open mind, you know, yeah. This year of the internship has also been challenging in many ways. Although with the challenges, I have had personal breakthroughs that I'm going to share with you all today. My testimony is very much tied to my experience with the homeless ministry that I also shared about last year. We were fortunate enough to work with the amazing staff at the Salvation Army Ottawa Booth Center again this year, but were shown a little bit of a different side. when you first see the Santo, it's downtown, right? So when you first see it, you can see people smoking, drinking, under the influence. But what might not be as obvious is where all these people, where they have to sleep, where they have to rest, and where they have to stay. So of course, most, or well, pretty much everybody there is homeless, but the center is equipped to be an emergency shelter for people who need it. Now, it's equipped to be an emergency shelter, so especially during those really cold nights or really hot days of Canada, because, you know, we just have the greatest weather here in Ottawa. It's beautiful, temperate, you know, it's never dry, it's never too cold, never too warm, but when it does get like that, very rarely, the homeless people, they do need some places to stay so they don't, you know, freeze to death or whatever. So it is equipped to be an emergency shelter. So unfortunately, it has not become like that. It's become most people's primary residence or a recurring residence. So for a lot of people who are wanting to get out off the streets, it's a really hard thing for them because they have to stay and they have to sleep around and surrounded by people who are still abusing, still using. And it's pretty much impossible if you're trying to get off of it. And it's really disheartening to see a lot of the people that I've had those nice, amazing conversations with, and a lot of those people that show up for Mass that us interns were part of this year, be like, oh yeah, God is with me, and Chaplain Jim is the is our connection there at Connecting Streams, and really talk to Chaplain Jim, God is with me, I know God is my Father, he loves me, and these people who have nobody else and say and still say that God is the one for them and God is there for them, but still be in that same position that I saw them in last year because they are surrounded by the people who are still using. So it's disheartening to see. But that is, unfortunately, that is the reality of the homeless situation downtown. But when we are shown the state of the living area, I could not feel but a little bit hopeless. It was smelly, sticky, dimly lit, cramped, and provided a severe lack of privacy. And without metal detectors or ID checks, you can imagine one may not have the best night's sleep there. And despite only wanting to help, the staff do end up in dangerous situations as well. While we were there, we were told about the head of homeless outreach and how he was stabbed more than 20 times and how it was uncertain if he would pull through. In fact, you know, he was in such a bad state that some staff were told by first responders that he would not make it. Thankfully, we heard the news that after a medically induced coma and rehab, he did survive, but these are the kind of events staff and the people staying at the shelter need to think about, not knowing if the person they were sleeping next to that night will decide that this one is the last. With two internships now completed, I can confidently say that homeless outreach has been the single most impactful thing us interns have been a part of, and I'm sure you guys have heard that as well. I mean, homeless outreach has been a constant through all of our messages so far, and us, despite the fact that, like I shared with you guys, it's really hard, it's potentially dangerous as well, we're still coming out and we're sharing in front of all of you guys. At the end of our internship, one of the most impactful and one of the most standout things that have happened in our internship has been homeless outreach. I think that says a lot about how great it really is. So I know some of the stories I shared can be a little bit more depressing than encouraging. However, these stories, my testimony and also some of personal testimonies that you guys may have can be helpful in ways you may not expect. In fact, one of my very close friends shared with me that he was planning on trying a marijuana during his trip to Halifax that he was on a few weeks ago. So I was very shocked because he is one of the smartest people that I know. He is also in his first year of university, just finished just like me, and he's studying med and he's planning on becoming a doctor, and his lowest grade in all of his classes that he's had while being a med student was an A+. That was his lowest grade. And this person went up to me and told me, David, I'm thinking about trying marijuana when I'm over in Halifax this September. And then I was really reminded that anybody can be influenced by drugs. It can happen to anyone. And that's really apparent when you talk to the homeless people as well. It's like they've had completely normal lives and something that was completely up to luck went wrong in their lives, and that's why they started doing drugs. So it could happen to anybody. And my friend was proof of that. So of course, I felt in my heart that I could not speak out on that. So I shared with him what I shared with you all today. And he told me, I hung out with him even yesterday, and he told me multiple times that me sharing that with him really changed his outlook on drugs, and he did not try drugs when he was over on his trip to Halifax. So thank you, Lord. I really think I give the honor and praise to God, because yeah, even just my story alone, it wouldn't have been enough, but I really shared it with love in my heart, and also God's love as well towards my friends. And I think he really received that, because, you know, of course, you know, as a guy, as a 19-year-old guy, there's a lot of joking, a lot of roughhousing, and a lot of non-serious moments. But I think both of us really just had a really, you know, really heart-to-heart conversation. I think he felt that. I think he felt my sincerity. So please go out and help and share in any way you can, because after all is said and done, no one should have to sleep with their life on the line. Thank you very much.
Well, I guess that means I'm the last one. Amen. If you can't tell, it's been a very eventful summer. Completely lost my voice. We got engaged. But yeah, it's been really beautiful just to be a part of the community here, but to be able to connect with different ministries around Ottawa. Sorry, it's going to take me a minute to talk. One of the biggest things that was on my heart coming to Ottawa, most of you guys don't know this, I actually lived in a small-ish town up north called North Bay for the last 2 years. Incredible city. I miss it literally every single day. But coming to Ottawa, my heart was really just crying out for community. It's crying out for family. And in North Bay, I was a part of 5 or 6 different churches doing ministry all at the same time. Coming to Ottawa, being really at one church, trying to like really discern where God wanted me, it was a really difficult battle, because there was beauty in each and every single thing that I saw. But the Lord was really highlighting, be at one and be consistent. I think the biggest challenge for me actually wasn't homeless outreach. It wasn't evangelism. It wasn't ministering to people. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't all those different things. It was being still, not doing anything, and just relying on God. And those of you guys that do know me know I'm a very fast-paced person. I'm typically in 10 different places all at once. But I'd be driving to work, and I live in Barrhaven. And when you're coming at 8:30 in the morning from Barrhaven, from Green Bank Road, you wait an hour to go through one light that lasts 5 seconds. 2 cars go through, and then you're done. Me being someone that gets so anxious so quickly, I was driving here, and I was like, I'm going to be on time. I left 45 minutes early. And I was 20 minutes late. And then the next day, I'm like, great, I'm going to leave an hour early. I was an hour and a half late. So I was like, God help me. And I was really just relying on him, where I just started driving. And I was like, God help me. So I started getting visions of different roads to take. So I started driving. And he's like, turn here. And I turned there. And I'd get here in 10 minutes versus an hour and a half. So if you want directions and you live in Barrhaven, come talk to me after. I'd love to give you those directions. But something that was really highlighted to me through everything was love. I was seeing different things happen throughout the city. And when I was involved in homeless outreach in North Bay, it was something that really burdened me, because all those people you'd see every single day, and every single pastor that I would talk to would say they're a lost cause, leave them. There was this guy, pretty sure he'd be okay with me saying this story. I won't say his name, but he got this close to my face one day and started screaming at me whenever I said the name Jesus, and was like, I'm the Antichrist and I'm here to kill you. And it was the closest I had ever seen a spirit in somebody's eyes so prevalently, just completely speaking through them, in a way where it wasn't through deliverance. It was the most heartbreaking thing I'd ever seen, and that started stirring something in me about that. But doing the ministry here versus in Ottawa, I knew there was going to be different challenges that we'd faced. Joseph, Ella, and David can all attest for this one. I think the biggest thing I went up against was people yelling at me for asking them a simple question like, how was your day? Where are you from? Yeah, it was very interesting, but the Lord really was communicating to me in that moment, there's different ways to love each person. It's not going to look the same for everything. It's not going to look the same for everyone. The way I love Josh is not going to be the same way Josh loves Chuck and Chuck receives it. It's not going to be the same way I love Glenda and Hannah would receive it. And I was talking to Josh about this story, but there was a day he looked at me and he said something so encouraging to correct me. But because of my past, I didn't see it as a correction. I saw it as him directly attacking my character and who I was. And God really started highlighting to me more about that. So that's going to be a bit of what I speak about today. And I just want to talk about what love is. And we see it in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, where it says, "Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, and hopes for all things, and endures for all things." And it's a lot easier said than done to just follow those principles. And that's a part of the beauty about following Christ, is he's the one that's going to guide us through constant devotion, through constant seeking him. So I started to ask, like, what is love? Who is love? Wanting to go deep. And the verse that came to mind is, who is love? And a lot of the time, what I've seen personally is we get so focused on following the rules, making sure everyone's doing things properly, but we forget that key aspect of love. And when Jesus was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? He didn't say, make them follow these rules. He actually rebuked the Pharisees for saying that. Instead, he said, the two greatest commands is to love God first and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in 1 John 4:8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And it reminds me of a revelation one of my friends back home got, where if God is directly love, if we're giving anything but love, we're not acting in a way that's representing Christ. Because everything we do should be out of the overflow of what God's doing. And then I also was just praying a bit more about it. And I want to know, God, how important is love? How important is this gift that you've given us? And he brought me to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. And this verse, it talks about a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about some of the best things God could give us to be such, like, in unison with him. But it says, "Though I speak in the tongues of man and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all the mysteries, all the knowledge, and though I have faith so I could remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body and burden, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing." And when I read that verse, it really hit me. Because that was actually one of the first things Josh convicted me of when we first started talking and called out in me. I was like, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. And I was so just upbeat, fiery. We need to go out and do these things. But he said, I love it, but you're not doing any of it out of love. Check your heart posture. And I argued with him. I directly fought against everything he was saying because I was like, what do you mean? This is me being loving. And he's like, really? He's like, that's not aligned with the scripture, though. That's not aligned with what God says love is. And when he said that, it just shook me. But I was curious, and after, God, like, how do you demonstrate love? And my pastor back home, I went to a church called The Harbor. Some of you guys do know of it. Some of you guys actually have been there. My pastor was absolutely incredible up there. His name was Jim Wilson. And he said one thing to us. It was actually during a youth conference that we were at, and we were doing a marriage seminar with the kids. just for them to understand what relationships were. A lot of the kids were getting into relationships at that age. And he said, love is sacrificial. If you look at every single thing that Jesus did for us, it was always out of sacrifice. And a verse that almost every single person knows, John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's such a beautiful verse because it talks right there that love is sacrifice. If we're not willing to give, sorry, my alarm's from the camp's coming off. If we're not willing to love the people around us, if we're not willing to sacrifice the little we have, then we're not loving like Christ did. And John 4, 1, 1 John 4, 9 to 10 was another verse that the Lord revealed. Sorry, I just need to find it really quickly. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be proportion for our sins. Thank you. And I just want to also go to Romans 5:8. With that verse as well. And it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that in and of itself says it all. Love is sacrifice. We need to sacrifice for all those people that we have around us. And everything else that Jesus did fell through that sacrifice. Compassion is a really big one that I want to touch on really quickly. Because something the verse... I did write it down. In Matthew 4, 13 to 21, it's a little bit of a longer one, but it talks right about right after John the Baptist died, his cousin and one of his closest friends. And just for a minute, if you've never done this before, put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Think about the person you love the most passing away and the person that's walked through every single thing with you. And just put yourself in that place where Jesus was. Now, the next verse that follows says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from the boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard this, they followed him on foot into the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved by compassion. And he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to the place saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away and they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You can give them something to eat. And they said to him, how? We only have five loaves and two fish. And he said, bring them to me. When he commanded, the multitude sat down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish up to heaven. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they ate and were filled, and they took 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. And those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And the really thing that stands out to me in that scripture is he was moved with compassion for each and every single one of those people. That's why he did that. He didn't just heal their sick. He also gave them a meal. He also sat with them and ministered to them and preached to each and every single one of them out of love, out of that compassion. And it's something I've personally been guilty of it when I've been in a really not amazing place, when I've been really down and defeated and distraught. I'm like, God, I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. I can't. And that's typically when the Lord says, that's when you need to do it the most. And it's a very beautiful thing to look at, is how much God loves us, that he didn't just die for us, but he continuously did it. And I also want you guys to think for a minute of a time God provided for you. Because that's out of the love and the overflow, and that's something to continue to give to God and to sacrifice, that the things he's given us to give right back to him. And that's another thing he's really been teaching me a lot about lately as well, is although I might not have the most right now, we're paying off debts, we're going to school, we're doing all these things, we're getting ready to get married. Something the Lord's really convicted me of is what happened to that place when you were in North Bay and you had nothing. You had $10 in your bank account, but you still bought pizza for the people that needed the food. And it was something that in the last week, the Lord really was like, provide, help those people. You don't have anything, but I'm your provider. You need to rest in me. For anyone who's very anxious and stressed out a lot, you can know that's a very difficult thing to believe, that God is going to come through every single time and provide. And I just want to reassure you he's going to. And I really feel that on my heart right now, that there is someone in here that needs something, that needs that reassurance that God is going to come through and God is going to provide for each and every single one of you, each and every single one of your needs, because it's not easy and it is so difficult. But God wants to prove to you that he is your Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider time and time again. Yeah, that just concludes a bit about what the Lord's really laid on my heart about this summer. But I just want to close in prayer, if that's all right with you guys. Yes, Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity just to come before you, Lord. I thank you for giving each and every single one of us just a message to speak. Father, I pray that as we continue to go through this, Lord, as we continue just to seek your face, Lord, you remind us of each and every single one of these things. Father, I thank you that you are our provider. You are our refuge. You are our comfort, Father. I thank you that while we were still sinners, you died for us. I thank you that we're not condemned through you, Lord, that there's no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus, Lord. And I pray that you give us a greater understanding of what you want us to know, of what you want us to speak, how you want us to pour into the people around us, Father. I thank you so much, Lord. In your holy and mighty name, amen.